Hope you have your Bible with you, and we're going to be preaching tonight on the subject, bringing people to Jesus, bringing people to Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 35. I did not realize the sermon I preached this morning ends where this one begins, and so it's an interesting, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. John chapter 1 and verse 35. And again, the next day after John, and that's John Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, that is John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." Notice those words, "Come and see." And they came, and they saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 p.m. in the evening. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which being interpreted, the Christ. Would you stand with me, please? John chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 40 and 41. John 1, 40 and 41. Are you ready? "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which being interpreted, the Christ." Be seated, please. The Word of God says that he called those who were apostles. He gave some apostles. There were 12 of those apostles, and they were commissioned to witness the resurrection of Christ. But nowhere in the Bible do we find anything about apostolic succession. There are those today who claim to be apostles, and there are those who claim to, they take that title, apostle so-and-so. I don't mind being called bishop or elder, because I am elder. You know, it's the truth. And we might as well enjoy it, right? Enjoy it. And, of course, pastor. And so the same person, there were three different words. He's a pastor teacher. He is a bishop. That is, he's an overseer. He's a manager, if you please. And he is also the bishop. He's the overseer, and he's an elder. He has experience, and he's a mature individual. And so there's nothing about apostolic succession. When the last apostle died, the apostleship ceased to be. It ceased to be. And by the way, let me tell you that all of those apostles except John, guessed how they died. They died because of their faith in Christ. May I say to you today, the easy days of being a Christian, the easy days of being a Christian, I think are gone. And I think it is possible that someone here in this building tonight may very well die for your faith in Christ. I think it is possible. And I believe that we are in a time where the things that we see today is really unsustainable. It cannot continue. It cannot be sustained. When we have nuclear bombs now in the hands of some really people who do not mind using it, and nuclear weapons will be used, and it may not be very long. And when they are used, It will be absolute chaos in this world. The only thing that's keeping nuclear weapons from being used is a three-letter word, G-O-D, God. God is in control. And I preached a sermon recently, and God tells us that we're to be faithful. But God tells us also that we are not to be afraid. These are not days for us to be afraid. Say, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I am so afraid. Get over it. Get over it. You don't have to be afraid. I remember when I was a little boy, and my dad worked at Chicopee in Hall County, and I was raised a lint head. You know what I mean? Both my parents worked in the cotton mill. And so... They had a place where they had a doctor. Dr. Davis was his name. And so my dad carried me, just a little tot, and dad carried me there to get some shots. So he pulled a trick on me and the doctor also. And he said, now, Bill, when you get there, tell the doctor, shoot me, doc, I ain't scared. Shoot me, doc, I ain't scared. Now, that's not good English, okay? It's not good English. Dad only went through the seventh grade. Shoot me, Doc, I ain't scared. And so, sure enough, being a daddy's boy and loving my dad and following him wherever he went, being his little shadow, I got there and the doctor got out that big old needle. It looked like it was a foot long, you know. And this is a little boy. And I said, Doc, shoot me, Doc. I ain't scared. So he kind of smiled, you know, got that needle out and stuck it in me. And I tell you, I shouted out like a Comanche Indian. I mean, I tell you, I really told the news. But these are not days for the faint-hearted. And so I don't mind telling you, I enjoy being a Christian more than ever before. I enjoy preaching the Word of God more than ever before. And it's the most wonderful time. I am not pessimistic. I am not a pessimist. These are the greatest days that anybody could choose to live in. And if I had chosen the time that I would live right now. What great opportunities there are today. And so we see this man, Andrew, that I call the helpful apostle. Andrew was a helpful apostle. He was always bringing people to Jesus. We don't know a lot about Andrew, but we know that he was always bringing people to Jesus. We do not have any records of any sermons that he preached or any miracles that he performed, but he was one of the inside group, Peter, James, and John. And Andrew were the four apostles that were kind of the inside group on the inside, and the ones that Jesus called upon the most. And so Andrew, his name means manly. He was really a real, real man. My dad started out early trying to make a man out of me. I remember when we moved to the second place that I remember where we lived, he put up a punching bag, and he was going to make a boxer out of me. He wanted me to be able to defend myself and to stand up for myself, and I thank God that God gave me the dad that he did. A few years ago, my dad looked at me and said, Bill, this is the ultimate compliment. This is probably my greatest compliment. He said, Bill, you finally made a man. You finally made a man. And so the word Andrew means manly. He was a real man's man. He lived in Capernaum. Beautiful city. I've been there a couple of times there in the nation of Israel. He was a fisherman. He was a brother of Peter. They were in the fishing business. Peter and Andrew were in the fishing business. And they were friends of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were also fishermen. And you know, you can't be much of a wimp and be a fisherman. You've really got to be a pretty tough customer. And Andrew was that kind of person. He was the first disciple. He was the first disciple of Jesus. He's the first one who stepped out to follow Jesus. What a great man he really was. He was a follower, a disciple of John the Baptist, who was the missing link. You've heard the evolutionists talk about the missing link. Well, John Baptist was the missing link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He was a man who stood between the Old and the New, the Old Testament and the New Testament. He was an incredible, incredible man. After 400 years of silence, after the book of Malachi was written, the last book in the Old Testament, and that book of Malachi ending with a curse. The book of Malachi, but Malachi said that my messenger would come. He said, I will send my messenger. And there was 400 years of silence from Malachi to Jesus, to John Baptist. Silence. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It seems like that God isn't doing anything in your life. It seems like nothing is happening. It seems like you pray, and there are no prayers that seem to be answered. And the things that you dream about, and the things that you hope for, the things that you believe that God wants you to do, it seems there's silence. And there were 400 years of silence when there was not a single prophet. Not a single prophet. Not a single word. But 400 years of silence. And then suddenly, John the Baptist comes on the scene. A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be exalted, and every hill shall be made low. And so Andrew attached himself to John the Baptist. What a privilege to have been associated. What a privilege to be associated with a man like John the Baptist, and to be a wise person, to really be wise. Let me ask you, do you really want to be a wise person? Then what you need to be doing when you're young is to attach yourself to people who are godly and people who are older than you are and who can help you to get your feet on the ground and can help you. And so Andrew showed the wisdom that he had by realizing the uniqueness of this man, John the Baptist, who had strange dress. He dressed strangely and looked, and he lived in the wilderness. But he realized, here's a man of God, and here's someone that I can learn from. Here's someone that can be my mentor. And so Andrew's first mentor, spiritual mentor, was a man called John the Baptist. And he followed him as far as he could. And so now we see number one. You see in your outline that we have in your bulletin, number one, we see Andrew beholding. All of these start with a B. Andrew beholding. I've told you over and over again the story of Edward Kimball, who led D.L. Moody to salvation, led him to the Lord. And a man who was a Sunday school teacher. The power of being a Sunday school teacher. The influence of being vacation Bible school worker. Here's a man that we know nothing about, and yet won a man to Christ who won millions of souls to the Lord. People like pioneer missionary C.T. Studd and Wilbur Chapman, who's a great pastor and evangelist. And so we see, first of all, Andrew beholding. And again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and Andrew was one of them. And they looked upon Jesus as he walked by, and John Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John said, "That is a Messiah. You're looking at the Messiah." What an incredible time it was. What an incredible spiritual time it was for Andrew to have been associated with someone who recognized who Jesus was. The day before, John had baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. I've been there a couple of times. You say, "Brother Bill, were you baptized in the Jordan River?" No, I wasn't. It's muddy. It looks bad. And it's not, they talk about seeing the mighty Jordan roll. It's not a mighty Jordan roll. In Georgia, we call them kind of a creek. I mean, it's not much of a river, folks. It's not much of a river. I've seen the Chattahoochee River all out all over everywhere in Hall County in the old days before the Buford Dam. And so, here, Andrew had the spiritual insight to say, "I need someone to mentor me. I need someone who knows more than I do." Now, I confess to you, when I was younger, I thought I knew everything. In fact, I knew answers to questions that did not even exist. I mean, I knew more than my mom and dad. I knew more than just about anybody. Boy, how quickly I found out how little I know. Now, I've been a minister for more than 50 years. And I realize how little. I read the Bible every day, and I marvel. I've never seen that before. I've never thought of that before. I've never recognized that before. How did that get by me? How did I not see? I never pick up the Word of God unless I see something that I'd never really realized before. And there he is. And John the Baptist said, "There he is. Take a good look. Andrew, there's the Son of God, the Lamb of God." So we see Andrew learning from John the Baptist. He learned. He was a disciple. And that's what the word disciple means, a learner. Are you a learner? Do you want to learn? You say, "Well, I pretty well gotten my education." You don't ever get your education. You may finish college, and I have 7 years of college. Now, it's not that I had got 4 years in 7 years. That's really not the case. But I still don't have my education. And I study more now and harder more now than I did when I was in college. You don't ever get your education. You think about all those people that you learned from. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Can you bring your mind in? Can you get it in focus? Remember the old cameras we had to focus them. And I used to have a photographic, when I was in the Army, had a photographic platoon and movie guys who made movies and all that sort of thing. And you had to focus your camera in those days. Now they have automatic focus. But can you get it focused for a moment? And who are the people who helped you that you've learned from? I think about first, I'm talking spiritually, okay? I'm talking about spiritual right now. The first person that I learned from spiritually was my mother. An earliest remembrance I have of church, and I remember the first time that I went to church that I remember I went to church. It was a Sunday morning. And I had on my Sunday best. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher. She taught children. And she got us together and carried us to church. I would not be here tonight preaching without the fact that I had a Christian, godly mother that I learned from who got me into church. The earliest remembrances I have of being in the house of God. And oh, how important it is, moms and dads, to be a spiritual leader in your home. I wish I could say that Dad was instrumental, but he really wasn't. That morning when we went to Sunday school in church, we went by ourselves. Dad had been off fox hunting all night. My dad tried to get me excited about fox hunting. I just never could get excited. You go out there and listen to dogs bark. Isn't that exciting? I have a neighbor who has dogs that hunt. I was trying to think of opossums and all of those things. And they have terrible voices, and they bark all the time. Bark. I went fox hunting one time. Anybody here been fox hunting? Okay, Brother James, you have. Okay. You may know what I'm talking about. Dad say, "That's old Blue." We had a dog named Blue. Old Blue. That's old Blue. Boy, old Blue is looking at that fox now. That fox is going to have to hunt a hole quickly. I mean, they are on their tracks. But it didn't do a thing for me. But my mother was the first spiritual mentor that I remember. I was saved in that church where my mother carried me. The first time I remember going there, my sister above me played the piano some there at that church. And so who are the people who helped you to learn about the Lord? I think about my grandfather, Daddy's father. And I was, at that time, I was probably, I'm not sure, the fourth grade maybe, probably 7 years old. And Grandpapa carried me to church. My granddaddy, who had been a drunkard for 10 years. I mean, not just a drunkard, but a guy who was really wild when he got drunk. And would come up and shoot the ceiling out of the house. And my dad would, and Uncle Curtis would crawl on the bed. They were absolutely terrified. But my grandfather got saved and got right with God. He became a very godly man. And he knew the Word of God. And that night, Granddad carried me to church, Chickapee Baptist Church. And that night I walked in, a happy-go-lucky young boy. And in the middle of that service, God spoke to my heart through the Word. Didn't hear anything. But I thought, I'm lost as lost can be. I am lost as lost can be. I wish I could say that I walked down the aisle that night and received Christ, but I didn't. But I walked out lost and responsible for my sins. And if I died that night, and sometimes we'd pray that prayer, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." But that night, I could not pray that prayer because I knew that I was lost. And I knew if I died in my sleep that night, I'd wake up in hell. What if Granddad, if I had not learned from him? Mother's mother, my grandmother, Molly Bowling, was a godly woman. And she's the one who told me that day, when I had been especially bad, I really got a rough start. I really made a rough start. And that day I had done something really terribly bad. And I was drawing water at the well. And grandmother came to me and she said to me, "Bill, I'm ashamed of you. I don't believe you would do something like you've done." And you know, Bill, someday you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the Word of God. You're going to be the only one in my family. There's no one in my family who's ever been a preacher. Not a single one. And you're going to be that person. And Bill, look at you now. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I was just a little boy. I never remembered. I don't consciously remember her telling me that I was going to be a preacher. Until that night, after Martha and I had married, and I knelt on the altar there at Grace Baptist Church at Gainesville and said, "Lord, I feel your call tonight, and I'll preach your word." What if Grandmother Bowling had not been someone I could learn from and sought to teach me? I think about my Sunday school teacher. I think about Sue Holcomb, who's a red-headed lady. And I fell in love with her. I really did. She's my fourth grade teacher, but she also taught at the church. And one day, I think I went to Bible school, and I'd gone to Bible school. And in those days, we got certificates. You remember those certificates? I came home with my certificate, but I didn't really get that certificate stuff quite right. I came to Mother and said, look, Mommy, I've got a sicket. It has Billy and Sue on it. Billy and Sue. What if that Sunday school teacher had not been willing to help a little boy learn about Jesus? I think about Vacation Bible School, and that's why I'm so crazy. I'm so crazy about Vacation Bible School. I'm absolutely a Vacation Bible School nut. A nut. An absolute nut. I'm out of my gourd about Vacation Bible School. I love it. But when I preached this morning about the cross, and I was in Bible school before I was saved. And that morning we were outside. We were having outside. And Mrs. Bell, who lived in Flower Branch, had I'd never seen a flannel graph in all my life. And she had a flannel graph about the cross. And she told the story about the cross, about how Jesus died for me. And that's really the first time that I really had a clear understanding about what the cross was all about. And that cross that morning in Vacation Bible School was indelibly printed upon my heart. And I've never gotten over and gotten away from that scene that I observed that day there in Vacation Bible School. I had not yet been saved. I had not yet received Christ. But I saw the cross as clearly as I've ever seen it in my adult life. What if Mrs. Bell had not worked in Vacation Bible School? Andrew, not only learned, but he looked. I must move quickly. He looked. Andrew listened. He listened. He not only learned and looked, but he left his comfort zone. And we see him beholding. Behold the Lamb of God who bears away the sin of the world. Very quickly, secondly, not only was he beholding, but secondly, Andrew was believing. Let me just say something about what I talked about this morning. In the times that I've had time down or time to hear someone else preach, I never left home without my Bible, and I never left home without a sheet of paper like this. I would go into a ream of paper, get a piece of paper like that, and I would take that with me to church to take something from the message that the service that I was going to be in. If you go to the well, those of you who don't know anything about the wells, but they had a bucket, and you let the bucket down, you draw the water out. You can't let the rope down, it's not going to bring any water out. Or we used to not have a well, but a spring. And you've got to take a bucket down the spring to get the water. When you come to church, and I've always, this is something that I believe. When you go to church, you need to take a bucket with you. Something to have and to collect what God tells you. And I carry this piece of paper with me because I know when I go to church, God's Spirit is going to speak something to me. Oh, you say God speaks? No, not speaks audibly. But I've never, 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 never been disappointed of going to the house of God where God didn't speak something to me. And I wrote it down in the service, and I have thousands of pieces of paper like this that I have in my files at home, and when I'm preparing a message, I pull out the things that God spoke to me about. In this notebook that I have here, I have in the back some sheets of paper, like the Blue Horse sheets of paper, and here is a sermon by Brinson Jennings when he was here on 2/7/16. I wrote down the things that I felt God was speaking to me about. I don't think there's anyone here who has a photographic memory. I only knew one guy that they said, a guy, Hinesley, when I was at North Georgia College, said he had photographic memory. I don't think any of us have one. They said that Jerry Falwell had one. I'm really not sure. But we need to be listening to what God has to say. I want to say again, I've never been disappointed. I've never gone from church with a blank piece of paper. I go there with a blank piece of paper, but I come back from that service with something that God has spoken to me about in that service. And a short pencil is better than a long memory. A short pencil is better than a long memory. And so we see him, number two, beholding. Number one, believing. And he followed Jesus. He walked away from John the Baptist and said goodbye to John the Baptist and said, John, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow him. Andrew was seeking Jesus. He followed Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you seek? Where do you dwell? Where are you staying? And Jesus said to Andrew, come and see. And Andrew not only believed and he sought Jesus and he spent time with Jesus, but Jesus said, come and see. And that's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, come and see, but go and tell. We're to come and see and come and listen, but to go and tell. We are to share the gospel that others have shared with us. My mother and my grandparents who shared the gospel with me, and Mrs. Bell who shared the gospel with me, and Sue Holcomb who shared the gospel with me. And so we see him believing and seeking and spending time with Jesus. We see him as he surrenders his life to Christ and becomes the first disciple of Christ. But thirdly, very quickly, we see Andrew not only beholding, behold the Lamb of God, and Andrew believing, and they followed Jesus. But thirdly, we see Andrew bringing people to Christ. Number one, he brought his brother to Christ. The first thing that Andrew did after he was saved is he went home to his brother and he said, Peter, we found the Messiah. We found the Savior. He brought his brother to Jesus. And those who are closest to us, we need to bring to Jesus. Your father, your mother, if they're not saved. Your brother or sister, if they're not saved. Your son or your daughter, if they're not saved. Your grandchildren, if they are not saved. We have a horrendous responsibility to share the gospel with those who are closest to us. How tragic to raise up a child and it die without Christ. To bring a child into the world and that child goes out into eternity without Christ. I watched a little bit of the Reagan funeral, Nancy's, where at Reagan's funeral. And I thought about her husband. And he talked about that great shining city upon a hill. And I thought about what he'd said. And his son, Ron Jr., stood up. And a few years ago, he was on television. And you know what he said? I am an atheist. And there is no God. How tragic for a man who is president of the United States to raise a son who says there's no God, who talked about the shining city upon a hill and all those things, but to raise a child and that child go to hell. Mom and Dad, you have a responsibility to your children. And are all the children saved, number one? And if they're saved, are they walking with the Lord? That is an awesome responsibility. That is the greatest responsibility that you have, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And don't lose your children. Don't lose your children. Don't give up your children to the world. Pray for them and intercede for them. He brought his brother to Jesus. I think about not only bringing his brother, but he, by the way, Peter was a man who's preaching on the day of Pentecost. We have no record of Andrew preaching, but his brother, a person that he'd won to the Lord and led to the Lord, his brother, was one of the greatest preachers and one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. Who knows about your son or your daughter or your sister or brother or your grandchildren? What about your grandchildren? Are those grandchildren in? Do they know the Lord? Have you claimed them for Him? He brought a lad, secondly. Remember that story in John 6? They, 5,000 men, but 15,000 people probably at least. And there's no Wendy's and there's no McDonald's. There are no McDoubles, no Big Macs, and all of those. 15,000 people, if there had been a Big Mac place there, they couldn't have handled that. If Wendy's and McDonald's and all of them had been there, they could not have handled that crowd that day. And they said, what are we going to do? The disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, they don't need to go. And they don't need to go. What are we going to do? Andrew said, there's a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. But what are those in your hands? You see, Andrew had, he'd stared around the crowd. He knew who was there, and he wasn't there. He's looking for answers. He's looking for solutions. And he saw that boy with his lunch, and he remembered. And he brought the boy to Jesus. Can you imagine that little boy with his lunch? And he's holding that lunch tightly. And Andrew says, would you give your lunch to Jesus? And the little boy holding his lunch, and in his hands, that lunch was inadequate. What's 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes? 15,000 people. Zilch, nothing. Nothing. But in the hands of Jesus, his lunch was infinite. In his hands, it's finite. I mean, it was nothing. It was not even enough for that little boy to eat, much less 15,000 others. But in the hands of Christ, his lunch was infinite. Infinite. And in your life is finite. And my life is finite. But in the hands of Jesus, the potentiality of our lives for Him is infinite. And He took the loaves and the 2 little fishes and blessed them. And 15,000 people were fed. I didn't believe that there's another Crooked Creek in the world. But there is. I've always been joked, the crooked preacher from Crooked Creek. That's a joke, okay. What's your name? Bill Carpenter. What church do you pastor? Crooked Creek. Oh, that's funny. You're the crooked preacher from Crooked Creek. Well, not Cripple Creek, but Crooked Creek, okay. But at Hazel, North Carolina, there's a community called the Crooked Creek Community and a church there. And I've been there. It's a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place. A good place to rest and all of that. And so there's a guy, preacher there, he had a revival. And somebody after the revival, they said, how'd the revival go? He said, well, it really wasn't really much. We didn't have but one little boy saved. A little boy, I said, what was his name? He said, well, the little boy's name is George W. Truett. George W. Truett was one of the greatest preachers who ever lived. And that preacher thought he didn't have a revival meeting at all. If he only won George W. Truett to the Lord, which it was. He preached all over the world and preached the gospel Thousands and thousands of people were saved. And there is a George W. Truett church at Hayesville, North Carolina, even now. And so he brought his brother, and he brought a little boy, and the little boy gave his lunch. And I believe the little boy gave his life to Jesus. I really do. And the third thing he brought the Greeks to Jesus. John chapter 12, just a few days now, Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to the cross for you and me. And so, in the Word of God in John 12, and there were certain Greeks among them which came up to worship at the feast. And Philip asked him to talk to them, and they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And Philip told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus, "Here's some people who want to know you and people who want to see you." And Andrew brought the Greeks, Gentiles, that the Jews said, Gentile dogs, they're not worthy of the gospel at all, just Gentile dogs. And Andrew brought the Greeks to see Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. I close with just a short story. And F.B. Meyers was a man who was greatly touched with the ministry of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, again, remember, was won by a Sunday school teacher. And so F.B. Meyer was preaching in America. He was preaching at a school in the South. And there was a young preacher boy in the school, and he was getting ready to leave the school and just give up on being a minister of the gospel. He was just going to leave school. He was going to quit and leave the school. And that day he heard F.B. Meyer share the Word of God. He rededicated his life to the Lord. That man's name was R.G. Lee. He was one of the greatest preachers who's ever preached in America. He preached his sermon, Payday Someday, over 18,000 times. Some of you maybe have heard that sermon. I heard him preach that sermon when he was about 85 years of age. And R.G. Lee was still preaching when he was 88 years old, at least three times a week he was still preaching the gospel. And so we don't know. And so God has called us. He has called us to bring people to Jesus. Andrew brought his brother, and we need to bring those who are closest to us. Don't lose your children. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandchildren. Don't give up upon them. Don't give them to the devil. Don't give them to the world. Say, by the grace of God, we're going to prevail in prayer for them. And he brought a little boy to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." And he brought some outcasts, some Greeks that the Jews thought were a little lower than the dogs. And you ever been called a dog? My wife has. She has. A girl, when I was pastor here, called her a dog. So, I mean, it's not far-fetched at all, because I know, and I was there when my wife was called a dog. But you know, sticks and stone may break our bones, but words are not going to break them, okay? And so we need to be bringing people that people have given up on, that the world's given up on, the church has given up on. Those who need the Lord, we need to bring them to Jesus. Shall bow our heads, musicians, will you come forward? I don't know what it is that God has spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe you don't know Christ as Savior. Or you're not sure about your salvation. Or maybe it's just a head deal, you know. You've assented to a bunch of facts. Yeah. But your life hasn't been changed. Your life has not been changed. Your want to has not been changed. When I get away from here, when I get away from Mother and Daddy and get away from that church down at Crooked Creek, I'll live like I want to. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Oh, my friends, those are not words of somebody who loves God and knows Christ as Savior. Perhaps there's someone here tonight. You've been saved, but you haven't followed Christ and believed in baptism. Maybe you're someone who's saved and been baptized. Your membership is elsewhere, and God is speaking to you about being a part of the church. We invite you to come. But I want to ask you about it. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about your great-grandchildren? What about them? Are you going to prevail in prayer for them? Are you going to be there for them as people have been there for you? Am I going to be for reaching others as others have helped me and reached me and influenced my life? Am I going to drop the ball now? No, no. No. And those who are outcast, and those that the world doesn't think are worth saving or could even be saved. Maybe there's someone on your heart that you're deeply burdened about, that you do not want to give up upon. Tonight you want to come and kneel in the altar. I don't know what it is tonight that God is speaking to you about, but will you come, please? Shall we stand? Shall we stand?